Today is the fifth day of the octave of Easter, Thursday of the octave. It's also the seventh day of our novena to the Divine Mercy. The octave of Easter, which is liturgically considered one day, is all about the resurrection. What happened and what does it mean for us? What happened and how does it have impact on us? What are we supposed to do now that this new thing has happened, that this earthquake has taken place? So that's what we're doing every day. And by now you can kind of get the pattern, you get the sense of what happens. First of all, it's a big step to figure out what happened and who this is. And then once that settles in, then it's time to run and tell others. So you see this happens again and again. Now, the first part is figuring out what happened. The tomb's empty, and there's this guy who looks like a gardener, or he looks like a stranger on the road, or he looks like a ghost. And the first reaction is not, praise the Lord, you're back. The first reaction is confusion, ignorance, fear, troubled, same thing that happens when there's an earthquake. Everything gets shaken. We're all shaken up. And that's what happens to the disciples. But then once they get it, well, then they are commissioned as witnesses. Once you know it, then you have to share it. Both of the readings today are continuations from yesterday. Today's gospel takes us again to Easter day or Easter night. The disciples who met Jesus on the road in yesterday's gospel have run back to Jerusalem. It's already evening. And the last line of yesterday's gospel is the first line of today's gospel. They tell the gathered disciples what happened and how they recognized the Lord in the breaking of the bread. That's code, early Christian code for the Eucharist. And while they're speaking, he appears. It just pops into their presence, or his presence is made known to them in a sudden and startling way. So unlike yesterday, when he approached them on the road like a fellow traveler, someone who's not at all threatening, someone who you could get into a conversation with, today he just appears. So yesterday, they thought he was an ordinary guy on the road with them. Today, they think he's a ghost. See, it's difficult for us to know how to relate to someone who has risen from the dead because we've never experienced such a thing before. And he's a combination of something ordinary and something extraordinary. He is a guy walking on the road. He does have a body. He does eat baked fish, just like we do. What is it, tilapia? I don't know, but he's eating baked fish. That's just a normal human thing to do. So he's ordinary, but he's also extraordinary. He appears, he is in a glorified flesh. He has a human nature which has broken through the barrier of death and now is alive forever. He's God. So that's the combination that we find challenging. Now, it's easy to say, oh yeah, he rose from the dead. It's like it's easy to say there was an earthquake in Turkey 2 months ago. Yeah, it's a news event. That's different than actually being there or actually encountering the Lord who appears. So in this occasion, they think he's a ghost, which is an interesting reaction. That was not the reaction of Mary Magdalene, and it was not the reaction of the two disciples on the road. So there must have been something different about his appearance this time that made them question whether he was really physically present or not. Because a ghost doesn't have a body, and that's definition. A ghost is a spirit being, no body. But you can still see him. So they certainly see him, but they don't think he's physically present. It's not the first time they thought he was a ghost. Remember when he walked on the water during the storm and they were terrified, just like this, and they thought he was a ghost, just like this. Why? Because they could see him, but he wasn't sinking into the water. So couldn't have been a normal human body, because a human body doesn't just stand on the surface. He sinks down into the water. So it must have been a ghost. I mean, that was not an illogical conclusion or suspicion, because who can walk on water? Well, it's something like this here. Who just pops into a room out of nowhere? Who just appears? Must be a ghost. Well, Jesus recognizes that they have this reaction, and he takes every possible step to prove to them he's not a ghost. He even says, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. I do. Check it out. Look at my hands. It's just like we're going to see on Sunday when Jesus will say to Thomas, put your finger in here in the holes. See how real I am. So this is what happens Easter night. And they still don't get it. Or they're still, it says, incredulous for joy and were amazed. So it's like they're frozen. And so then he does something which will really wake them up. And I think this, anyone who's in a culture like Filipino culture, where you don't just have someone come to your house and not offer them food. And if you don't, and if the person asks for food, then you realize, oh man, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? I should have offered him something. He shouldn't have had to ask. So you know how that feels. Oh man, why didn't I think of it? Well, they were just so stunned. But his request, do you have anything here to eat, wakes them up. So they quickly found something to eat, as anybody would. And then once they are awakened to his real presence, then he can start to instruct them. And he says, look, this is how it is. I told you this before. I told you this is how it's going to be. I told you how this had to happen according to the scriptures. Now it's clear. Everything that was written about me is now coming to fulfillment. And now you are the witnesses. Now, here's a real change. Before the resurrection, when people identified Jesus as the Messiah or as the Son of the living God, what was Jesus' command to them? Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Remember the transfiguration? They saw him in his glory. Clearly, this is no ordinary man. Here he is, Son of God. He's better than Moses and Elijah. And Jesus says, don't tell anybody until after I have risen from the dead. So this is a big, big shift. Don't say anything before the resurrection. But now that I'm risen, now you have to tell everyone, starting with Jerusalem and to all the nations. Now, why is this? Well, one of the main reasons is the cross. Before the cross, the danger was always that people could grab the idea of glory, grab the idea of victory, of power, of conquering sin and death, or conquering the world, without passing through that necessary death. And that, because of that danger, Jesus kept saying, don't tell anyone. But now that he has been crucified, buried, and risen from the dead, there's no denying that's what happened. He still has the wounds in his hands and his feet. You can't say he wasn't crucified. You can't say he didn't experience this horrible, this disgusting torment, and passed through it and came out on the other side. There's no way to deny it. So now that's part of the message of the resurrection. It's part of what we are witnesses to. We're not just witnesses to the resurrection, we're witnesses to the crucified who is risen. Both sides. And that's very important, because our experience is as his followers, is experience of dying and rising. Experience of passing through the stripping, the crushing, the humiliation, the losses, the dying experience. It's part of being a disciple. And there's no getting the fullness of the gospel without the cross. But now, that's it. Here I am, and Jesus says, here I am. I am the crucified and risen Savior. Okay, now you're witnesses of these things. We start with Jerusalem. Now we go to the first reading, and we're in Jerusalem. We're right in the temple area, Solomon's portico. Yesterday we were at the beautiful gate. Beautiful symbol. What's the beautiful gate? The tomb is the beautiful gate. It's not beautiful on this side, but it's certainly beautiful on the other side. And that's the experience of the crippled man. He was crippled from birth. He was stuck in the tomb. What happens? Peter and John come along and say, we don't have any money. We don't have any silver or gold. But what we do have, we'll give to you. We have what we have received, that is, a power in the name of Jesus that is greater than the tomb. So stand up and walk. And they take him by the hand. Peter takes him by the hand and walks. That was yesterday's first reading. So this is, now this crippled man is on the other side of the beautiful gate, symbolically. Of course, he didn't really die. He's still in his earthly state. But he has passed from being crippled to being able to dance around. Remember yesterday's reading, he's jumping all around. And everybody could see him. So this is where the reading picks up. This is Acts chapter 3. And everybody can see this man, who they had seen begging for years, or ever since he was born, he was crippled. Now he's in perfectly good health. And this has caught everyone's attention. What happened here? Peter, seeing the crowd gather, takes the opportunity to witness. It's a beautiful little initial proclamation. Here's the story. You see this man? Here's the evidence of some great power. It's not our power. Don't look at us. It's the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, you rejected him, not too long ago, and you know, the powers that are running the show have completely messed this up, and the Holy One came, the Righteous One came, the Messiah came, and you've decided to release a murderer instead. So that's what happened, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. See the key word here. First, faith in the resurrection, then witnesses of the resurrection. So this is what Peter's doing. He's saying, this is what has happened, and we are witnesses of it. And now we have good news to report to you. Not words of condemnation, even though everyone is a sinner and everyone's guilty of what has happened to the innocent victim. But that very victim is the key to freedom from sin and freedom from the tomb. So you acted out of ignorance, and what God has done here has made this very victim the solution to the whole problem. So just leave sin behind, be converted, be baptized, let your sins be washed away, and experience this new life just like this crippled man has. That's the great message. So this is the Easter proclamation unfolding day by day through the octave. What happened? This earthquake, this new thing. What does it mean for us? Well, we have to be new. We have to leave that sin condition, that tomb behind. We can't do it in the ultimate sense because we're still in this life. But in faith and by the power of the sacraments, we have a whole new possibility here. So that's why we renewed our baptismal vows on Sunday. Because it's by baptism that we can be witnesses. Not just because we read about it in a book, but because the power of the resurrection has been poured over us and poured into us. And now we can be sinners as we are. We're sinners who have been saved from sin. And now we can be witnesses of the resurrection.